Bibles with you, would you please turn to Isaiah chapter 9? Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. Hear now the very words of God. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And then would you turn over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And then verse 14. And when they came to the disciples, that's the other disciples at the bottom of the mountain, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear it with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. The boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Amen to the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now asking that you would speak mightily into our minds and our hearts and our lives this morning. We're not here by accident. There are some people visiting, there's some people who are here every week, but either way, we're not here by accident this morning. You have brought us. And so as we think about your words, we pray for your Holy Spirit to take it and sear it upon our hearts, that you would speak to us, and that as your word is preached and heard, you would be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to picture the scene in your mind. Jesus takes his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he takes them to the top of a high mountain. And it really must have felt like they'd gone beyond the clouds of this fallen world, because on top of that mountain, Jesus met with the Father. Jesus was transfigured before them. That word transfigured is the word metamorphosis. You know that word, a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly, metamorphosis. That's the word for Jesus. He was transfigured, transformed before them. His face shone brighter than the sun. His clothes began to dazzle. Look at verse 3. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. You see, on top of that mountain, these three disciples were getting a taste of the reality that Jesus is the Greek word is apogasma. He's the shining forth. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Or to put it better, he is the radiance of the God of glory. And then Jesus descended from the mountain with his disciples into the gloom of the valley below. He was immediately confronted with misery and suffering as he went down the mountain. There on the left were his other nine disciples, completely bewildered by the power of Satan. On his right were these scribes, these men trying to catch him out. And then in front of him was this desperate father and his helpless boy. This boy, we read in the Gospels, had no quality of life from childhood. His whole life had been plagued with fear and pain and debility. We read that this boy had convulsions and seizures often. There was some sort of spirit, some sort of demonic spirit that had a grip in him that would cast him into fire and water. This boy was shattered by this demon. That's the word that Luke uses in his gospel. This demon shattered this boy. This boy's life was afflicted by this demon. And to make it all worse, this boy was mute and deaf. He couldn't even tell his father about his suffering. He couldn't even hear his father's words of consolation. But Jesus entered the scene. And it's not If you can do anything, help us. Jesus can save to the uttermost. And Jesus, who spoke the world into existence, spoke to this demon. He rebuked the demon. And it left the boy. And the boy, we read, fell down as if he was dead. In fact, some people who were there actually thought that he was dead. He was like a corpse, we read. Most of them thought he was dead. Maybe he was dead, I don't know. But then something happened. Jesus stooped down to this boy laying in the dust, and he took him by the hand and he lifted him up. Jesus stooped down and took him by the hand and lifted him up out of his life of misery and pain. He lifted him up to himself, and this boy arose to a life that would never be the same again because he had experienced the life-transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may be here this morning and you're saying, Rob, that's all very good, but it's December 25th. You know, where's the nativity scene? You know, give us some incarnation. Well, if that's you this morning, I say to you, can you not see it? Can you not see a picture of it here in this chapter? That the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven radiated the glory of God because he is God. The Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, who communed with the Father, he had never known anything but unbroken, joyful communion with his Father. The Lord Jesus, whose glory had only ever shone brighter than the sun, veiled his glory and came down the mountain. He came down the mountain into this world. He came down into the darkness of a womb. He came down into the stench of a barn. He who was rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake, became as poor. Thrones for a manger did surrender. Sapphire paved courts for stable floor. Around Jesus, he got to the bottom of the mountain, and around him was all the misery of a God-hating world. Were there demonic powers? Yes. Was there hate? Yes. Blasphemy? Yes. Godless ideologies? Yes. You name it, it was there. He was surrounded by suffering and sorrow and weeping and mourning. He had relinquished the fresh air of heaven for the stench of this world, where Satan's presence is palpable, where people's lives are blighted by bondage to sin and sorrow and misery from childhood, where people are deaf to the word of God, where people are shattered by all the effects of our corruption. Do you see it? And who did Jesus see when he came down to the bottom of the mountain? Was it not you, Christian? Was it not you? How are you? How were you any different than this boy? This boy was under some sort of demonic power. And Paul, he writes to these Corinthians and says, you know, you used to follow the spirit of this world. You used to follow the prince of the power of the air. This boy was deaf. That was you, Christian, before the Lord worked in your life First Corinthians 2, Paul tells the church in Corinth that you are unable, not even just unwilling, unable to receive the truth, to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. This boy, I don't know if he actually died or not, but it was as though he was dead like a corpse. And Paul says, that was you. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But Jesus came down the mountain and Jesus transformed the lives of his people. Isn't that your experience this morning, Christian? That he unclogged your ears to the word of God. That he removed Satan from off your back. And though you lay dead, as it were, in the dust, Jesus stooped down and he lay in the dust for you. Isn't that what he did on the cross? What was he doing on the cross? He was taking your place in the darkness, in the agony on the cross, mutilated and bloody, the wrath of God poured out upon him. What was he doing? He was taking your place. And then he arose on the third day. And it's almost as if he turned round and stooped down and took you by your cold, lifeless hand and raised you up. Raised you up to himself, raised you to a life that you'd never known before. Raised you to life, to eternal life. Jesus tells us what life is. It's to know God the Father and Jesus whom he has sent. That's life. And that's your experience, isn't it, Christian? He came down, he took your place, he rose again and then pulled you up to himself. Isn't that your experience? Now, you may be here this morning and you're not a Christian. You might say you're a Christian just like everyone else. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But you know that you're not really. You don't really know the Lord. You don't really belong to Christ. You don't have that union with him. Well, I would imagine what I'm saying to you is pretty offensive. Because what I'm saying to you is that you are in Satan's grip. I'm saying that you are unable to hear the truth. The Bible says that those that are outside of Christ are like, they suppress the truth. They hold it down in unrighteousness. I'm saying to you, if you're not a Christian, that you are dead in your sin. That you're unable to make yourself alive. That you're unable in any way to contribute to your salvation. And I'm also saying to you that Jesus Christ is coming again. And one day you're going to stand before him on the day of judgment. And if you have rejected him, then he's going to say to you, depart from me. I never knew you. This is pretty offensive stuff. And I say to you this morning that actually this is good news. That Jesus came down the mountain. That Jesus came to take the place of sinners. That Jesus can set you too free. And deliver you from the dust of death. And deliver you from bondage to sin. He is the Savior. He is Jesus. This is good news. Christmas is good news. You can have life in all of its fullness, both now and forever, in Jesus Christ. But as I said before in the service, there must be repentance and there must be faith. You must have faith in Jesus. Now, what is that? What is faith? Well, look at this father for a second. Look at verse 22. And the demon often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him, the boy. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now we've got to pity this father. This father, how many sleepless nights did this father have over much of his son's life? This father loved his son. Did you notice how he said to Jesus, have compassion on us and help us? Because his son's pain was his pain. We know from the other Gospels that this father actually got down on his knees. And Luke tells us that he cried out. Depending on what translation you use, with tears. He cried out with tears, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." God ordered this man's circumstances to drive him into the arms of Christ. And his father, he was wise to go to Jesus, and he called out to Jesus in faith. It wasn't full fat faith, but it was faith. Notice, look at verse 22 again. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my belief. He cast himself completely. His faith wasn't perfect, but he cast himself completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of the salvation of his son. That is faith. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then your life is blighted. You can pretend it's otherwise, but you know in your heart of hearts it's blighted. You live a godless, Christ less exists. You've forfeited the reason that God made you. Everything you have, Christmas presents, whatever, is vanity. Solomon, I still want my Christmas presents, actually. I'm just saying it's vanity. Solomon, in his sermon Ecclesiastes, he's got all this stuff, all these wives, all this material wealth, everything. And what does he say? Vanity of vanity. It's fleeting. It's a breath. You can pretend otherwise, but it's vanity. And it's worse because you're guilty and you're condemned. But I'm saying to you this morning, if you have faith, like this father had faith, you call out to the son. Cast yourself upon him. Lord, have mercy upon me. Jesus, save me from my sin. Save me from the misery that comes with it. Save me from death and hell. Then that's faith. Faith is not coming to God with some sort of self-dependency, not pretending like you're okay. It's coming to him with empty beggar hands and saying, save me. Jesus, save me. Savior. Save me. Have you done that? Have you truly done that? Cast yourself upon the mercy of God and Jesus Christ. Last thing I wanted to notice, it's interesting that immediately after this episode, Jesus just came down the mountain to the valley below. Almost immediately after this episode, verse 31, begins to tell them of his death and resurrection. He came down the mountain and begins to speak of his death and resurrection. And that's why Jesus ultimately came from heaven. He came to die, to save sinners, to make us right with God, that we can know and be with God and enjoy God forever. That's the gospel, that Jesus, although God, came from the high mountain of heaven into the miserable world below to die on the cross for his people, to be their sacrifice. I was reading this week, the second martyr in Scotland for the sake of the gospel was a man called George Wishart. You can go to St. Andrews even today. You could almost miss it. You're driving along the road and there's a wee GW in the road, a little plaque. That's where George Wishart was burned for the sake of Christ. But when they came to arrest him, it was 1530-something. He had a bodyguard. Wishart had this bodyguard, a man by the name of John Knox. And John Knox wanted to stay with George Wishart. And George Wishart said, "No, on you go. One," he says, "one is sufficient for a sacrifice." And I'm saying to you this morning that Jesus came down the mountain, and one is sufficient for a sacrifice. One God-man, Savior of the world, is sufficient for a sacrifice. That's why Jesus came. And he has risen and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. And I say to you, you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the most famous verse in all the Bible? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And you will be raised by him, just like this boy was raised from his life of misery and suffering. And your life will never be the same again, because you will have experienced the life-transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it this day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we rejoice on this Lord's Day morning that you are a loving, merciful God, that you loved the people so much that you gave the ultimate price, paid the ultimate price, and not only sending, but giving your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in the place of sinners. And we come to knowing that we can do nothing to earn or deserve your love. You have loved us simply because you have loved us. Even though we, your people, have given you 1,000 reasons to stop loving us, you still do, and you won't let go. We thank you this morning, Jesus, that you came into this world, into the humility and shame of a stable, of a fallen, sinful, broken world, how you died in agony in the place of your people. We rejoice, those of us today who are Christians, that by your grace, because surely it was a gift, you gave us the faith to believe and be saved. Lord, thank you for our salvation. Thank you for raising us up to eternal life. We do pray this morning for those outside of Christ. I don't know the hearts of your people, but you know them. Oh God, have mercy upon their souls. Give them faith to believe. I pray all these things, praising your name. In Jesus' name, amen.